An art exhibit called Modern Spirit, The Art of George Morrison, opens at the Minnesota History Center on February 14th. George Morrison, as most of you know, was an Ojibwe artist from the North Shore who became a major figure in the modern art movement. Here to tell us more about Mr. Morrison and the exhibit is Dr. Kristen Macomb, Executive Director of the Minnesota Museum of American Art, which organized the exhibit. Dr. Macomb, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Of course, this exhibit is pretty special to us here in Cook County since George Morrison is a native son and perhaps the most famous person, let alone artist, to come from Grand Marais. Before we talk specifically about the exhibit, could you sketch out for us, for the visitor, for listeners who don't know George Morrison's story, a bit of his life history, particularly his development as a major modern artist?
Absolutely, yes. Well, George Morrison was born in 1919 in Chippewa City, just north of Grand Marais, which it doesn't exist any longer. It was a small Ojibwe town, and that's where he was born and lived with his family. He he lived right around Grand Marais for all those years, and his father was a trapper, and he was very involved with that life up there until he went off to the Hayward Boarding School in Hayward, Wisconsin, which many of the kids at the time were doing, and also came back and was at the Grand Marais High School for a while. He went off to school. He went down to Minneapolis to study at the Minneapolis School of Art, and he was very interested in taking what he knew of painting and drawing, which he had done early on, and really learning the ropes of modernist art, of abstraction and of surrealism and all these things that were breaking ground in the 20th century. And so he went off to Minneapolis, and then he got some money to go off to New York City, and then he got a grant to go to France and to the south of France, and really became a modern artist of quite renowned. He showed in many places throughout the entire country, and so he went away to become a great modern artist and finally came back often to see his family, came to Duluth quite a bit, lived in Duluth now and then, and was really interested in becoming a great American artist of the 20th century, which he did.
He also did some teaching in his career, didn't he?
He did. Well, you know, you have to, as an artist, you often have to make money someplace, and so he did a lot of teaching. He was at the Rhode Island School of Design for a while. He did a lot of visiting teaching throughout the country, as well as back at the Minneapolis School of Art, which is the forerunner to the Minneapolis College of Art and Design. And so teaching was a big thing, so there's a lot of students out there that were inspired by him and his art.
I said we have a little information piece here that indicates that he also became an associate professor of art at the University of Minnesota from 1970 to 83. I suppose that's a part-time situation, and he taught studio art and American Indian studies as well.
Yes, no, he was the first person to be in the position. They had just started the American Indian Studies program in 1970, just when the American Indian movement was starting to really get off the ground in the Twin Cities. And he was the first instructor in that department, so he really had to do some work, do some research to find out what did it mean to study American Indian studies and what did it mean to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just come naturally to someone. Even if you are a Native American, you still have to know how to discuss all that with people. And that was a challenge. He didn't do that for very long, though. He went and ended up being full-time in the Department of Studio Arts at the mm-hmm. University of Minnesota.
And then, interestingly, he ended his life up back where he was born.
Exactly. So when he came back to Minnesota in the 70s, he and his wife at the time, Hazel Belvo, who's quite another remarkable figure in Grand Marais.
Everybody here knows Hazel.
Yes, you all know Hazel. Well, they decided to make their home back up on the Grand Portage Indian Reservation, and in the early 80s began to build Red Rock, the home on the North Shore, where their son, Breon Morrison, continues to live. You might know Breon because he's a jazz guitarist who plays oftentimes up there. And so, yes, George and Hazel and Breon lived for many years up at Red Rock, and that's where George lived out the rest of his life until he passed away in 2000.
And he continued working right up until the very end there, it appears. I mean, apparently there's acrylic and pastel works that he turned to at that stage.
Well, lots of works, yes. He started, he had been doing lots of large wood collages in the 70s. And for his health reasons and the Castleman's disease that he was afflicted with in his later years, he was unable to do the big works. So he would sit at Red Rock with smaller canvases and wood blocks and paint the lake, paint the horizon. He often painted the spirit tree up on the Grand Portage Reservation, and that became fodder for the work for the rest of his life. It was very, very important to him, and they were smaller works, horizon paintings, he called them.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us now then about the exhibit that has been put together that will be opening on February 14th. What is it? What is it like? Where do the works come from? And
yes, well, Modern Spirit, The Art of George Morrison is an exhibition that the Minnesota Museum of American Art in St. Paul, which I run, organized a few years ago to be a traveling exhibition that would go around the country to show the entire country how important this artist is. In terms of just being a fabulous artist of the 20th century that so many people could love and appreciate. And so about half of the exhibition comes from the collection of the Minnesota Museum of American Art. We acquired a lot of works over the years from George and from Hazel and from others in the community. And so the other half of the exhibition is work that comes from private and public collections throughout the country. It covers his work from some of the earliest days. We have paintings that represent the North Shore, like Mount Maud, and we have a wonderful landscape that was that is still in the collection of the Grand Marais High School, which has been traveling through the country. Mm. We have works in all media, wood collages, drawings, prints, small sculptures, and all the way through to some of the latest works he was doing in the last few years of his life. This exhibition's been traveling throughout the whole country. It opened at the Plains Art Museum in Fargo, North Dakota, back in June of 2013, and has gone to the Smithsonian Museum of the American Indian in New York City, and at the Idle George Museum in Indianapolis, and it's been at the Heard Museum in Phoenix. So this is his homecoming. Its final showing here will be at the Minnesota History Center.
Oh, really? This is the final show of the traveling exhibit.
It is. It is. And we are so happy that this is the homecoming, finally, of this work back to Minnesota, so that everyone here can see sort of, it's what I would think is a kind of triumphal return. It was seen by over 200,000 people throughout the country in the past 2 years, and it's just had an enormous success.
That's great. Well, in the art world, is Morrison seen as a Native American artist or a modern artist who happens to be Native American, or how is that issue dealt with?
Well, that is an interesting question. George Morrison often wanted to be considered a modern artist, an abstract modern artist who happens to be a Native American. And he didn't want that portion of his background and his heritage to overtake what he felt was just a great American art that was dealing with you know, paintings and how you put paint on canvas and how you represent the landscape and abstraction and things like that. Over time, of course, his work began to be seen more and more in terms of a Native American language, of the relationship to the land. And he started doing objects that connected more, such as totems and the wood collages and some other things that deal with indigenous forms. He embraced those later in his life, particularly after 1970 when he was teaching those American studies classes and came back to Minnesota and began to realize that the strength of his heritage in his work. So now I think many people do see him as a very strong Native American artist, but I think that the exhibition tries to show everyone that his work really transcends that and has an enormous connection with just simply modern art of the 20th century.
Yeah, I noticed on your website there's a beautiful acrylic called Spirit Path New Day Red Rock Variation. And underneath it, there's a statement by George Morrison. Do you remember what that statement?
I wouldn't be able to quote it for you.
I'll read it because I think it's really cool in this what we're talking about right now. I don't know when this statement was made by him, late in life or early in life or what, but he says, "I seek the power of the rock, the magic of the water, the religion of the tree, the color of the wind, and the enigma of the horizon." That's a beautiful statement.
It's so beautiful, and I would imagine so many of your listeners understand the power of the landscape.
Yeah, exactly.
And all of that, living on the North Shore. That was a statement that he wrote after he returned to Red Rock in the early 1980s.
Yeah, that's what I would guess, yeah.
Yes.
We're speaking with Dr. Kristen Mackholm, who is the executive director of the Minnesota Museum of American Art. We're speaking about an art exhibit called The Modern Spirit, The Art of George Morrison, which opens next week, February 14th, at the Minnesota History Center. Dr. Mackholm, why don't you have this exhibit at your museum, or is there more space available at the History Center?
Yes, well, the Minnesota Museum of American Art has been rebuilding. We have a smallish gallery now in the Pioneer Endicott building, in a great Cass Gilbert building in downtown St. Paul, and we're in the process of going through a campaign to build a larger facility with larger galleries. At that point, we would be able to accommodate an exhibition of this size. But at the present time, our final galleries are not constructed yet. They will be in a couple years. But we're so thankful that in the absence of us having galleries to show this exhibition right now, that our partner, the Minnesota History Center, has been able to allow us to use their wonderful facility to present this exhibition in St. Paul.
Yeah, that really is a beautiful, beautiful facility. I just want to ask, modern art, you know, many of us see it as not as accessible as more natural representational art. What could you say to that? What would you say visitors should understand about what modern art seeks to convey, and particularly Morrison's art?
Well, what's so wonderful about Morrison's art is that it is incredibly approachable to folks who may have that reticence towards abstraction and towards modern art. Because it pulls together a relationship to the land, to the landscape, mm-hmm. to objects that come from the land, such as wood. He used a lot of found wood from the shoreline of Lake Superior in his work. Because it relates to the trees and the shoreline and the air and the spirit of space, and yet calls back attention to paint on the surface of a canvas or a piece of wood or more things that would be considered modern art. I think it's a gateway for many people to realize that abstraction and modern art doesn't have to be off-putting. It's just a way for you to see the world in a little bit of a different way, and George Morrison's work allows you that entry point to open your mind to what you're seeing and what you're experiencing, and just trusting your own responses to what you're seeing in front of you, and not getting tied up with, well, I don't understand necessarily what abstraction is or surrealism or all these sorts of words that get thrown around, but I just have a really positive response to what I'm seeing. And this is beautiful, and it's speaking to me. And so I think George's work is about trusting your intuition to what you're seeing in front of you and just mm-hmm. going with that. And I think a lot of viewers will feel that when they see his work.
Well, that's nicely put. In terms of this exhibit, this retrospective, it's the biggest ever of George Morrison. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's correct. The Minnesota Museum of American Art did another exhibition back in 1990 mm-hmm. that might have been close in size, but it didn't have the scope of this. And it certainly did not take the best from across the country and assembled it. So this isn't something you're going to be able to see again in one spot, because we've assembled it from all these places. And but you will be able to see and experience the work in the catalog that we did that accompanies the exhibition. There is a book that has been traveling with the show, and we're pleased to say it won a Minnesota Book Award last year in the Minnesota category. So it does really connect with the exhibition, and it allows it to speak once the exhibition closes at the end of April.
Well, let's get some details on when and where and what time and on the exhibit details. Where can we get information? Where can listeners get information and so on?
Sure. Well, there's a website that you can go to, and the website is mmaamorrison.org. So that would be, it's one word, mmaamorrison.org. And there's a lot of information about the exhibition there. You can also go to the Minnesota Historical Society website. They have some information there. That's mnhs.org. And the exhibition opens on February 14th, next week, and closes on April 26th.
Okay. And again, how many works are actually assembled there for the exhibit?
There's 80 pieces, give or take one or two. We had the addition of an extraordinary wood collage, a new. This is the first showing that it's had, and it's a wood collage that was created by George Morrison for a friend of his in 1979 for the wall of his home. And he has just donated it to our museum, and it is seen in public for the first time in this showing at the History Center.
So this wasn't at the Heard Museum or the...
It wasn't at any of the other venues. No, this is a last-minute addition, and it's never been seen in public. So this is a really wonderful thing that we can offer specifically to folks who come to see the show here in St. Paul. And there's a few other pieces that have been added, a few drawings that we inserted in for this last venue. So it's pretty exciting.
Well, we definitely want to thank you very much for sharing this information with us. I hope a lot of our listeners will have a chance to see this exhibit, and because, as I say, it is so meaningful to us who live in the same environment that George was representing in so much of his work. I'm wondering, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I want to say that one of the really special things was us being able to locate this painting in the at the Grand Marais High School. It was a painting that George had given to the high school back in the 1950s. Wow. And it was Hazel Belvo who told me about this painting, and she said, you should contact the superintendent, Beth Schwartz, and see if you can get that painting for the exhibition. Of course, it had never been seen outside of the high school.
Huh.
And so it worked out so well because we were able to help do some conservation on it to get it all cleaned up. And it's been one of the real charmers of the exhibition throughout all of its venues.
It must be one of the earliest works.
And it is a very early work. Yes, it's from the 1950s, and it is the landscape. It is the shoreline of Grand Marais there. But when the show is over, it'll go back up, and hopefully it'll be something that people can see in a more public spot than just the principal's office at the high school.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure it will, now that it has that provenance.
Well, it's exciting to find works like this and to work with people who, you know, just were knew him and had some real strong personal connections. So.
Right. Well, again, thank you very much, Dr. Macomb, and I hope as many as possible get down to see the exhibit. We certainly appreciate you sharing all this information. Thank you.
You're welcome.